Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, team, for that wonderful music this morning. That song, the last one that you did. Oh, thank you, sir. That last song that you did is incredible, and as is the song 10,000 Reasons. Do we ever have time to thank God for every reason that we need to thank Him for? What an incredible God. This morning we're going to kind of jump around a little bit. I have some scriptures that I want us to consider this morning. But before we start with the message, I want us to have a word of prayer for Pastor Homer. Pastor Homer's going to be going over to Spring Creek and filling the pulpit over there this morning for their pastor, who is going to be gone. They have their Snowasis type of event or their winter retreat for their youth, and their pastor's going to be gone. And so Pastor Homer has graciously agreed to go over and fill their pulpit. And so we want to pray for him as he prepares to go. So let's have a word of prayer as we open up today. Our gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us and for your great grace. And Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters throughout this world. Lord, your family's a big family. And your family is going to be assembling all over the place today. Many already have, and Lord, many more yet to come. And in one of those areas of your body is going to be the group there at Spring Creek. And so, Lord, we pray that they would come to your house today with open hearts and that they would be very receptive to your word. And then, Father, we pray for Pastor Homer as he goes. Lord, may your spirit give him guidance and direction. May your anointing so rest upon him that as he shares your word, people would be able to look to you for help, for encouragement, for strength, for salvation, for whatever their specific need may be. And Father, we'll give you thanks, for you are the God who is worthy of all of our praise. And it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, this morning I want to speak to you in a very basic and simple way of salvation. The need to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you, without Christ in our lives, we are doomed for eternal separation from God. And in that being doomed, there is no possible hope of ever being released. And so we want to make certain that we know down deep in our hearts, what is our spiritual condition, so that we have the opportunity to make certain that we are all prepared for when the Lord calls us. You will remember just yesterday we had the funeral here at the church for Earl Smith, who passed away very unexpectedly, 54 years old, massive heart attack, dead before he hit the floor. One of those things that we never know of. When God calls, we'd better be ready. I have noticed in news reports and that kind of thing of many young people having their lives taken by others, sometimes through automobile accidents, sometimes through murders. All different types of things. And if you were to ask any one of them, if you were to have that opportunity to ask any one of them, is there anything that you'd do differently? To a person, if they didn't know Jesus, they would be telling you, I would have given my life to Jesus. Look, folks, our eternal destiny is dependent upon our current decisions that we make. We have no promise of tomorrow. Absolutely none. We have promise of this moment. We have hope for right now. But we have no promise of tomorrow. And so many people make all of their plans for years and years and years and years. And we don't know. We don't know. And so I want to be able to share with you how you can make certain before you leave today that your heart is right with Jesus Christ. And give you that opportunity in case the Lord would call you home today. The very first thing in this seeking Jesus Christ, the very first thing is we have to believe that He is God. Acts chapter 17, verse 31 says, "Whereof He hath given assurance unto all men that He hath raised Him from the dead." In other words, we need to believe that Jesus Christ is God, that He suffered on Calvary's cross, and in that moment of suffering, that He died for our sins, and that God has raised Him from the dead, and given then through Him the gift of eternal life to extend to us. It is really that simple. But if we don't believe that, we are without hope in the life to come. Folks, there isn't a person here who is going to be able to declare, "Well, I did the best I did," when they stand before God. Not one. When we stand before God, we're either going to be able to say, "I trusted Jesus Christ for salvation and received Him as my personal Savior," or we're going to have to say, "Bye." But we're all going to give account for what we've done in this life. Every one of us. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we receive Him by, first of all, that belief, that acknowledgement that He is God. And that's the first step. Once we have reached that conclusion, "I believe that," then we can begin to reach out. The second thing is we must confess that we have sinned. We must confess that. And that acknowledgement, the gospel, or not the gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we confess our sins. Now, I'm not talking about going into a little booth where there is someone on the other side of the booth that we say, "Please forgive me, for I have sinned." Man does not have that authority. No man has the authority to forgive sin. God alone has that authority. But we must confess our sin before God. Confessing our sin doesn't mean that we step back and we say, "Okay, I remember when I was 9, I did this, and when I was 11, I did this," or "Was that 11 and a half? We're not doing that type of thing. Confession is simply this. It is acknowledging before God that we have committed sin and asking for His forgiveness of that. You don't have to remember everything that you've done, because I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. You can't remember everything that you've done. And if your being able to be brought into the presence of God depends upon how good your memory is, I'm going to guarantee you, you have a better forgetter than you do a rememberer. All right? And so confession is not that. Confession is the agreement with God And we agree with God when we understand that Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." And that we are a part of all. Every one of us. I always enjoyed listening to Billy Graham. And I'll be honest with you. I believe that Billy Graham is one of the greatest men who ever lived. But you know what Billy Graham used to say? "I sinned. I sinned. And I needed forgiveness." Folks, we need to acknowledge we have sinned. Every one of us. And I don't care who you are and how high a value you place on yourself, if you're not willing to acknowledge that you have sinned, then you're sinning by not being willing to acknowledge that. Because you're going against what the Bible teaches. For it says, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And we need to confess to God, "God, I have sinned." You remember the story that was told by Jesus. He gives it in kind of a parable form, but it may have been an actual event. I don't know. But you will remember that there's a Pharisee who is standing by the altar of God. Standing. All right? He's standing by the altar of God. And he's going, "Man, I'm so glad that I'm not like this person. I'm so glad I'm not like that person and like that poor old sinner over there. So glad I'm not like that." And it says, and at the other side of the altar was a man who was prostrate before God, on his knees, broken, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then Jesus asked this question. He says, "Who do you suppose left that place justified? The one filled with personal arrogance? Or the one who had humbled himself before God and confessed his unrighteousness?" Folks, confession is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. The next thing is we need to repent. Repentance, according to Acts chapter 38, the command goes like this: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the removal of your sins." Repentance is absolutely essential to having forgiveness from God. Repentance is simply this: telling God, you are sorry enough for your sins that you turn your back on them. In other words, that you quit. A willingness to be sorry enough to say, "I'm not going to go and do those things that I have done before. Repent of those. Give them over so that God can wash them away and take care of them." And then I'm going to tell you, in an act of obedience, then, and in an act of recognition of God's word that it's truth, you should be baptized. Baptism is the public expression before the world, "I have received Jesus Christ, and I put my allegiance with Him." So repent of your sins. Number four, very simple, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God." As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, the very first part of this, God is continually reaching down to you and to me. He's continually reaching for us to become a part of His family. And He's waiting for us to reach to Him. And we reach to Him by believing, confessing, repenting, and receiving. And then He enters our life. Our sins are washed away. We are made brand new. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, everything becomes new when we receive Jesus Christ. The old man and his ways is dead. The new man is raised in newness of life. But I'm going to tell you, if you have no intention of really serving God, and you're not willing to live a new life in Christ, I don't care what you do, you're doomed for a Christless eternity. You cannot honestly repent, believe, confess, and receive, and then walk out and live the same kind of life. Doesn't work. But it's simple to know that our sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ said, "Anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." So folks, He's not going to reject your offering of yourself if you do it His way. If you're going to try to get to heaven by robbing and stealing being this, trying in your own strength, under your own power, thinking, "Well, you know what, I'm not as bad as old so-and-so over there," you're eternally lost. And you're trying to rob or steal your way into heaven. That's not going to work. It's time to just get honest with God and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you know, when that happens, the Word of God tells us that all of the kingdom of heaven rejoices. The angels, everyone rejoices. And internally, we as well rejoice because of the lightness of what has taken place in our lives. The weight of sin has been removed. And the joy of eternal life has come. I'm going to ask you to stand at this time. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Nobody looking around. Is there anyone here today who would be willing to say, "I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is not my Savior"? I want to pray for you that God would open your heart and that you would respond in obedience. Is there anyone like that at all today? I just want you to raise your hand and put it back down. Anyone at all? Our gracious Father, I thank You. I thank You for this opportunity that You've given us. Lord, I thank You for this worship team, and Father, for their dedication and their offering of their talents and their gifts to You, and the way that they lead us in worship. Father, thank you for them, each one of them. And then, Father, I thank you for your people as they gather together. And by the acknowledgement today, by their personal acknowledgement, everyone here knows you as Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, I'm going to ask you to just bless them, to watch over them, to help them, to encourage them. And, Father, if perchance there's anyone here who doesn't know you, may your Spirit speak to them and continue to speak to them daily. Father, may you help them come to that point where they will be honest with you, acknowledge their sin, repent, and seek your forgiveness. And then, Father, we know that you will not only forgive, but you'll give them help and guidance and direction. You'll fill their lives with peace and with joy. And so, Lord, thank you again for your promise to meet with us and for the fact that you have met with us. And we give you praise for all of these things, for it's in your incredible name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus today.